Let us commence by Anne Lamott. The below is excerpted from Anne Lamott's commencement speech at the University of Berkeley in May 2003. You can read a shorter and slightly fiddled with version of the full speech here. So I thought it might help if I just went ahead and told you what I think is the truth of your spiritual identity. Actually, I don't have a clue. I do know you are not what you look like, or how much you weigh, or how you did in school, and whether you get to start a job next Monday or not. Spirit isn't what you do, it's, well, again, I don't actually know. They probably taught this junior year at Goucher. But I know that you feel at best when you're not doing much, when you're in nature, when you're very quiet, or, paradoxically, listening to music. I know you can feel it and hear it in the music you love, in the bass line, in the harmonies, in the silence between notes, in Chopin and Eminem, Emmylou Harris, Bach, whoever. You can close your eyes and feel the divine spark, concentrated in you, like a little Dr. Seuss firefly. It flickers with aliveness and relief, like an American in a foreign country who suddenly hears someone speaking in English. In the Christian tradition, they say that the soul rejoices in hearing what it already knows. And so you pay attention when that Dr. Seuss creature inside you sits up and says, "Yo." We can see spirit made visible in people being kind to each other, especially when it's a really busy person, taking care of a needy, annoying person. Or even if it's terribly important you, stopping to take care of pitiful, pathetic you. In fact, that's often when we see spirit most brightly. It's magic to see spirit largely because it's so rare. Mostly you see the masks and the holograms that the culture presents as real. You see how you're doing in the world's eyes, or your family's, or, worst of all, yours, or in the eyes of people who are doing better than you, much better than you, or worse. But you are not your bank account, or your ambitiousness. You're not the cold clay lump with a big belly you leave behind when you die. You're not your collection of walking personality disorders. You are spirit, you are love, and you are free. You're here to love, and be loved, freely. If you find out next week that you are terminally ill, and we're all terminally ill on this bus, all that will matter is memories of beauty, that people loved you, and you loved them, and that you tried to help the poor and innocent. So how do we feed and nourish our spirit, and the spirit of others? First, find a path, and a little light to see by. Every single spiritual tradition says the same three things. 1. Live in the now, as often as you can, a breath here, a moment there. 2. You reap exactly what you sow. 3. You must take care of the poor, or you are so doomed that we can't help you. You don't have to go overseas. There are people right here who are poor in spirit, worried, depressed, dancing as fast as they can, whose kids are sick, or whose retirement savings are gone. There is great loneliness among us, life-threatening loneliness. People have given up on peace, on equality. You do what you can, what good people have always done. You bring thirsty people water, you share your food, you try to help the homeless find shelter, you stand up for the underdog. Anything that can help you get your sense of humor back feeds the spirit, too. In the Bill Murray Army movie, Stripes, a very tense recruit announces during his platoon's introductions, "My name is Francis. No one calls me Francis. Anyone calls me Francis, I'll kill them. And I don't like to be touched, anyone tries to touch me, I'll kill them." And the sergeant responds, "Oh, lighten up, Francis. So you may need to upgrade your friends. You need to find people who laugh gently at themselves, who remind you gently to lighten up." Rest and laughter are the most spiritual and subversive acts of all. Laugh, rest, slow down. Some of you start jobs Monday, some of you desperately wish you did, some of your parents are asthmatic with anxiety that you don't. They shared this with me before the ceremony began. But again, this is not your problem. If your family is hell-bent on you making a name for yourself in the field of, say, molecular cell biology, then maybe when you're giving them a final tour of campus, you can show them to the admissions office. I doubt very seriously that they could even get into UC Berkeley. I talked to a professor who said there is not a chance he could get in these days. So I would recommend that you all just take a long deep breath and stop. Just be where your butts are and breathe. Take some time. You are graduating today. Refuse to cooperate with anyone who is trying to shame you into hopping right back up onto the rat exercise wheel. Rest, but pay attention. Refuse to cooperate with anyone who is stealing your freedom, your personal and civil liberties, and then smirking about it. I'm not going to name names. Just send money to the ACLU whenever you can. But slow down if you can. Better yet, lie down. In my 20s, I devised a school of relaxation that has unfortunately fallen out of favor in the ensuing years. It was called prone yoga. You just lie around as much as possible. You could read, listen to music, you could space out, or sleep. But you had to be lying down. Maintaining the prone, you've graduated, you have nothing left to prove, and besides, it's a fool's game. If you agree to play, you've already lost. It's Charlie Brown and Lucy with the football. If you keep getting back on the field, they win. There are so many great things to do right now. Write, sing, rest, eat cherries, register voters, and, oh my God, I nearly forgot the most important thing. Refuse to wear uncomfortable pants, even if they make you look really thin. Promise me you'll never wear pants that bind or tug or hurt, pants that have an opinion about how much you've just eaten. The pants may be lying. There is way too much lying and scolding going on politically right now without your pants getting in on the act, too. So bless you, you've done an amazing thing. And you are loved, you are capable of lives of great joy and meaning. It's what you are made of, and it's what you're for. So take care of yourselves, take care of each other. Thank you.